material.
Thank you. All right. Well, it is kind of a new day of new beginnings, and it's also a sad day for some of us, happy day for others of us. And yeah, Butch is smiling. Butch is thrilled. It is the official first day of retirement was yesterday, right? Yeah, so Butch, couple of things. First of all, we really, honestly and truly want to thank you for all your help, your service, the hours you put in that you don't get recognized for. Thank you from all the commissions, the elected officials, constituents of Sublette County for your service. Commissioner Rawhauser has a special thank you for you, and I'll turn it over to him.
I have not known you very long, but we've traveled. And so I have something for you.
You've known him long enough.
I have something for you that I know is dear to your heart. And one of them is the Skyline Road, and the other one is the LaBarge Creek Road. Thank you. So, in honor of your retirement and your love for those two places, we have a rock from each place.
Awesome.
And a caterpillar. So, come up and
have.
Well, that's because you know how heavy that one is. Billy's in charge.
Yeah.
You need to come up and have your picture taken.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on. And then you're done.
Come on,
Bush. Then you can tell us to pound sand. Officially.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've told us that many times,
yeah.
But now you can do it as a civilian.
I never meant it.
And you don't have any more glasses, Butch.
Yeah. Holman drove.
Thanks,
you know,
Butch.
So,
yeah.
Mac.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were doing this.
Oh,
you did?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God.
Mac failed to mention.
Just about as old as anybody.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. People get cold.
Yeah,
they do get cold.
Well, thanks.
We brought you this thing on call, too. Thank you for the partnership over the years.
Wow.
Hey, that's cool.
Everything
that's
good and bad, you taught me.
Yeah.
Getting back up here for another picture, man. Dan and Joel. I mean, Butch, come back up.
You guys, come on. We'll have your picture taken.
Where's the blue glasses? You told me about that one.
Glasses. Well, bring the plaque.
Bring your plaque with you.
Bring
that plaque. That's cool.
Dan, come up here.
Oh, no, I'm good.
No,
come
no.
on, Dan.
No, I'm tired from please. This county as well. Actually.
Yeah.
They'll probably buy a new dozer. Hurry up.
There you go. That's the dozer on the rock.
We already bought a new dozer. Come on.
Yeah, we just
everybody
did.
Should have at least.
Yeah.
We do.
Us fair. You can't believe the plaque that comes from that dozer.
Yeah.
So, what were you going to say, Mr. Chairman?
I was just going to say that Mac's better half, Ruth, painted that on that rock and did just a beautiful job.
That's
we
nice.
Want to thank her too and for her talents and for putting up with Matt.
Yeah.
I'll try to put it in the house.
And I heard Dan volunteer he'd carry it out.
Take it outside.
Yeah. I'll carry it in my car.
So I'll take it in the box. Okay. And we'll do this and then.
Okay.
Hey, Butch.
Thanks for your dedication to Sublette County.
Yep.
I've learned one hell of a lot from riding around with you over the years.
Well, Butch, one thing that hadn't been said here yet is that all the residents up at Boulder Lake, a ranch up there, appreciate what you've always done to keep the road up. And we actually put you up as a candidate for sainthood, but when we went up the chain of command, why that fell through, so I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, because they dug into your past.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your
yeah. Thanks, Butch.
Butch.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you very much. I'll
thanks,
see you, Butch.
Butch.
Yeah.
just embarrasses him. Something terrible.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to continue with your speech?
I'll get a phone call later.
Yeah, I'll only need about 1 minute of your time. And for the record, my name's Lou Gage. I'm a resident up at Boulder Lake. And I didn't know that Butch was retiring. I hate to see him go because he's been very cooperative with us all these years, as well as all of the funds that the commissioners have elected to spend on the Boulder Lake Road. That road is really getting heavy traffic on it now. It's I don't know if there's been any traffic counts taken, but it's not unusual at all when you're driving out to pass 4 or 5 cars coming in, and probably the cars that are coming in will pass 4 or 5 of us that are coming out. It's really heavily used. John Lynn, that has a house just across the lake and has full view of the road, has told me numerous times that there's just continuous traffic on that road. 30 some years ago, when I first started driving it and built up there at Boulder Lake, it wasn't unusual. The cars that you would pass going out, 1 or 2 of them would be off in the ditch because of the road wasn't a safe road. Had a lot of washboards and loose gravel, and people were driving it too fast, of course, too. But I personally have pulled 2 cars out of the ditch and the sagebrush there, both cars probably total because of, luckily the people weren't hurt. But in any event, all the people that use that road, and especially the residents up at Boulder Lake, really appreciate the funds that the county is putting into making that a safe road so that people can use Boulder Lake. I told Butch several years ago, about 3 years ago, I told him how good the road was and how improved it was. I said, but the trouble is that ever since you've improved the road, the fishing's gotten a lot poorer up there on Boulder Lake. And he told me, he said, you know, I can fix the fishing for you if you want. Mm-hmm. And I told him, no, just keep the road up. I just wanted to let the commissioner know that we appreciate what's being done there.
Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'll be on my way.
Okay, thank you. All right. Billy, let's go to work.
Does anybody want to dump? Last couple weeks been kind of busy because of the fire. I've had motor grader spoon some roads the first week. Last couple weeks I've had 2 guys in water trucks up on the fire. One got mowed out yesterday and the other one should be mowed out today. So that's been going good. That's pretty much all we've had to really do with the fire. I had to get some more fuel tanks put up at the Bond Ranch shop and some light plants. But other than that, that's really all we've had to help with the fire. It's kind of been kind of touchy with our crushing because we're still crushing in the beaver pit. So we've come and gone when they've let us. So we're back up there today. We've only got about 47,000 piled there. We want to try to make 60, so the next couple weeks will be hot and heavy up there. It looked pretty good yesterday up there when we were up there, the smoke and everything, so it's kind of calming down. Other than that, we're just blading. Got Soda Lake graveled. Got it pretty well. We should finish up magging it today, well, if the weather hangs in there, but Soda Lake turned out really nice. Willow Creek, Mark Noble and them, got all the pipes and the
arch pipe, all that stuff come in, so it's all out there. He did borrow a couple other pipes from us, but the hill and all that's looking really good. I've been out there a few times. I think that's coming around really good. Other stuff I got. Last week, Rod Bennett called me, and I was talking to Mark and Eric and Skyler about this. Rifle Range Road come up again. He's wanting to build a house, and he's kind of wanting to start construction, if the fall, if we don't get snow. So just trying to figure out, because I've, that's the road, and we've talked about this before a couple years ago. The road goes right down through the middle of his property, and so we can either, and I'll let Eric explain this with the.
So what they had was the original plat of the county road went around and then down, but the road was never finished to wrap where the end point is. They just took the shortcut through Rod's road, or through Rod's property. And this is one of those roads where the BLM is contesting that RS-2477, even though all the dates are right. So we have this letter from them from 2016 where they say the county doesn't have any right to maintain it. So it's our thought, if we want to connect that from where that road ends now down to the bottom, is just to submit a new FLTMA for that portion. Because it says here in their letter that approval of a FLTMA right-of-way does not diminish or jeopardize any future RS-2477 assertions. But we just don't know if we're opening a can of worms with the BLM on messing with this one, since it's...
Isn't that what we had decided in the past? Is we really didn't
just
want to
open...
Yeah, we didn't want to open that can of worms.
Yep.
Am I remembering that right?
Well, they do have access. They just don't like to go all the way around to get to their property, but that is their access. So.
Right.
One.
It's, it's one of them things you hate to make a road a dead end, so you would like to have it go all the way through, but that's where we're at, whatever you guys decide.
So to fix it, we need, we'd stay, go around the outside and back down to the highway, right?
Yes.
Yep.
That was the original discussion.
Yeah, okay.
And what is the benefit of doing that?
Just not having a dead-end road, you just always, it's just for plowing and stuff like that, you go right through instead of having that dead-end.
Gotcha.
Right at the end. Because it's not that, it's not that far,
Yeah.
That's the only, but there's a lot with all this other stuff, If it's just moving the road, that's the easy part of it.
Does it help you with your operation?
It either way. I mean, it is better because you don't have to try to turn around up there, and there's not a lot of room to make a turnaround right there. So, you got that issue turning around and stuff and just blading and everything, you just a dead end road, but we got lots of them, so
we got a lot of roads to nowhere.
Yeah, so it doesn't, it's just to you. Okay. Really up to you guys.
Yeah.
Make it
so there's this is not the road, but that's the easement.
Skyler, do you want to take a stab at our
the actual easement?
Well, they've covered it pretty good. There's only one thing to point out. I think we've got a pretty strong case, maybe not as strong as the Billy Mayo Road.
They stopped building
pretty close in our documentation. But we sent that to the field office, and Caleb said, they weren't buying it. And the one thing that works against us is that last part was never built. And so on a 2477, you can't do anything more than what's already there. So
is there two tracks there?
They have beat the brush just a little bit on this.
He says one of
and when it gets past Rod's lot, there's nothing.
I would say this.
Okay. So it's making a new road if we continue on through it.
It is. It's just people.
So that's the only thing.
We do that under the guise of a flip maze.
Who is that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Excuse me. Yes.
Okay.
That would allow us to go ahead and actually build a road. And I'm, you know, Butch and I and Matt met on this years ago, rather to cave to their desire to go with Flipma or stick with 2477. And at the time we said, no, we'll just stick with 2477. But I've kind of changed my thinking a little bit in the last couple of days after talking about this, and that's only because of that south end.
This one?
I don't know. I don't think there would be any problem getting a flip easement from the BLM. And so far, they haven't made life under Flipma too hard.
Okay.
Really.
Does that affect the road coming up to that point? Does that make everything a flip maze?
I haven't talked to them about it, but I'll bet that's what they would want. They would want that whole road.
So we give up 2477 on the rest of that?
No, they're pretty clear about it. That does not negate our claim to 2477.
Okay.
So it really comes down to whether you want to build the road because of the concerns that Billy has with
the one thing, it's not a very, you know, I mean, traffic counts on that road is 19 a day. So, I mean, it's not, you know, it's,
yeah,
we could
coming in and going out.
Just in that last house, you know, it's a couple miles for it to go, you know, it's
the other way.
But, yeah.
But everybody going out's headed out the other direction.
Exactly.
It wouldn't make sense for them to go out
the other way.
Or the other way, would it?
No, it's just that one house.
Just the one
house. Yeah.
I'm completely lost.
Good. But I think
in terms of where this is.
Just south of the Calpet turnoff, the north Calpet turnoff, as you're going around that corner. I forget.
It's 5 Mile Bridge.
Yeah.
It's right on the side.
By Reardon. Right across.
Across the highway.
I think Rod was hoping we'd make the road because he's not one. You know, if we, you know, he'll have to go all the way out. So
he's going to build at the end of that.
So this goes to 5 Mile Bridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got you.
So.
I got you.
And this.
So how
long to the
how far?
Yeah.
And this. How long of a road are you going to have to build?
Oh, it's not.
1,500 feet, maybe half a mile.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like it wouldn't take us any time to do it. It's not no gullies or anything. It's I looked at it in 2016.
Exactly. But you'd bring it up to county road standards.
It's not much. I mean, a couple days, 3 days.
Okay.
We got a pit right close. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
This road does go out and come all the way around.
So do you have a recommendation?
You know, like I said, I hate to see it dead end road, but it's one of them roads that it's not a high use road. I don't see any more people. I mean, there's not like a lot of lots or stuff out there. I really don't. You know, I mean, if we could dead end it and be done with it. I mean, it like I said, it is kind of narrow up there. I mean, but we can still, you know, deal with turning around. I mean, it's
so you turn around on BLM now?
Yeah.
Okay, now that I think it's been explained.
I used to be a priority.
I keep going back to what we decided 2 years ago. You know,
I mean, we can always just
cost benefit.
Yeah. We could dead end it
because it was platy.
Call it good.
Yep.
Like this. Oh, okay.
So it's just been shortcutting it out of convenience.
What would Rod do to cut off public traffic going through there?
He's
put signs
gonna,
up, or
yeah, I think he's just going to fence it.
Which isn't going to matter.
Yeah, he's just going to fence it, and then I guess they're going to build a house on that lot, so yeah. So we'll just have to put some signage saying dead end road. So
one, Mr. Chairman, one thing in
I can't understand two conversations going on at each end of the table, so I don't think I've gotten anything out of this.
Commissioner Bowsman has the floor.
Just one comment, well, Skyler's here, in regards to RS 2477. I was assured by Tim Williams in the Department of Interior that they are addressing that in Utah as we speak, which I was not aware of. And he said once they get the precedent set for recognizing those roads in Utah, then they're going to open it up west wide.
That'd be good. Did you get a feel for what kind of time?
No, okay. No. I've asked them that before.
And I'm sure.
They're feeling their way through it.
Yeah.
But hopefully within the next year or so.
That would be good.
Okay. I guess I'm not inclined to.
And it's not saying we can all, you know, in the future.
Yeah. You know. Well, absolutely. It's not like we're getting rid of it, but I think I'm kind of where I was 2 years ago.
Okay. All right,
gentlemen, go ahead. Feel free to weigh in.
Well, I guess now that I know where it's at, and now that I understand the map, this is not a decision that needs to be made today. Am I correct?
No, he's one that if the weather, he's going to close the road this fall. So that was why I brought it up, what we wanted to do. So, I mean, which is, you know, we can sign it, make sure it's turnaround.
You know, we move forward next season.
Yeah.
So do any of the people that are in this subdivision use this access?
Yes. That house on the map.
This one right here?
Yeah. That's the one they use.
So if they close the road, they're going to have to come.
Go all the way.
Yeah. All the way around. So when that phone call comes, do we just forward that to Bennett? Or do we, because it's not up to us? Or is this up to us?
I would think it'd be up to us because, I mean, we're going to get the call. I mean, Bennett, they're going to say there's illegal access because if there is an easement through there. So they're going to want to know why the road, you know, why we decided mm-hmm. to dead end the road.
So do we have legal access through that piece? If we do, then he can't.
Well, I think, I mean, it shows on GIS. If you go on GIS, it shows where the road comes all the way on the outside. And there's the road right now. So they're going to ask me why we didn't, you know.
But we do not have legal access through ROTS.
No.
Okay. What was
the legal access to that subdivision? Subdivision was platted, what was the legal access to that subdivision from the other end?
Well, you had the other end and this under claim of 2477. It was done in 1974, so it was a couple years before FLTMA came into effect.
If that was shown on the original plat as access in around that?
Yeah, it was on the subdivision plat, Joel. There is a slight fly in the ointment in that looking at the correspondence in the road file that CHRB had was that YDOT didn't like it coming out right here. I don't know if it was because of where it was on the curve, and so Paul had to replot it down here. It kind of takes a little curve down here. So if you look on the official road plat, it goes down here, which of course we didn't have.
That's what happened.
Yeah,
there you go.
Okay. And of course the BLM would reject that just as well as the one going parallel to the south lot line.
But they would give a flip easement probably for
I would guess they would.
Wherever it was mm-hmm. deemed appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they would.
What kind of an issue do you have with approaches there? I mean, are you going to have to get YDOT's approval?
I'm sure that they'll, nobody will be around that remembers that from the 70s, so they'll probably want to weigh in and say yes or no on it.
So there's a chance they'd say no.
Sure.
on that access to 189.
Right. Unless they happen to have some old documentation where it shows that this was where they wanted it to go.
So our other option is we take no action now and just put it off. And if the need arises and we have to address it, then we address it at that time. Sure.
Sounds like the biggest, the people most inconvenienced will be Billy and that one person that lives on that road. The rest of them really shouldn't be.
Everyone else uses the other.
And if it's a large, substantial inconvenience to you, I would rethink my...
It's not for us. I mean, for plowing or anything like that. I mean, it's no problem us turning around on top of the hill. It's one of them roads that there's not that many people on it anyway. So, you know, we blade it twice a year. We plow when needed and stuff like that. But it's the biggest people is just that house because they're the ones that use it. They're going to be the ones that complain. Yeah. Everyone else goes out the other end.
Gotcha.
Mr. Chairman, so you're saying that they want not a private road, but they want a road to their house that comes on where it was maybe supposed to go in the 70s. And that would that be a county road to their house? Or would that be a private road to their house? By closing the other road and... I'm still confused.
You mean like through Rod's here?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Rod's going to close that.
Okay.
So, and if we turn, you know, if we just stop up on top of the hill, the existing road, I mean, it's a private road right now.
Okay.
Because our road's not where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
We don't do any work on that private road anyway.
No. I mean, I don't even blade it.
Yeah.
I stop at top of the hill. So, I mean, for me, maintenance-wise, we're stopping at top of the hill anyway.
Anyway.
Okay. So.
All right. I think no action seems to be the best action.
You could do nothing right now.
At this point.
And I can check with the state and see what, you know, just for...
Yeah, that'd probably be good for a further discussion.
Yeah.
Just to see if they'll allow an access right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that then.
All righty. Other than that, Grable Lane, I just want to let you guys be aware. The Swift and Ellis, and Mark knows, I was talking to Mark about this too. That's very heated down there, you know. And so I get calls from both of them nonstop. If one, you know, Ellis wanted Swift to clean his ditches, so he did. Well, he cleaned from, you know, and a lot of the water runs next to the road, and he cleaned from the pipe, so Ellis calls Matt that he was, you know. So I just want to let you guys know that that's kind of a no-win situation there. I mean, and I'm trying to stay out of it.
Yeah.
You know, they keep trying to bring the county involved in it, but it's not, that's very heated down there.
It doesn't involve any of our easements, right?
No, we put a pipe in for them to, you know, and Mark was a part of that, to try to get the water off Ellis and stuff. But it's all about it's all in the courts. They're trying to get Swift to put in ditches and everything. But, yeah. But it's somehow we keep getting involved. You know what I mean?
I'm just giving you guys.
So when the water gets to the county road, it can get under the road to the other side?
Yes.
So
yeah, we got all, pipes in.
That's our only concern, right?
Right.
And the pipe did help.
But they still want more and they do talk about, Swift was telling me, Randy was telling me that you know, they think maybe they might need some more pipes, and but they're working with their engineer, and I said, well, you know, when you get, like, come and we'll discuss it. But it's just kind of a no. If whoever's in the bar ditch doing whatever, you know, then they call. It's, I'm trying just to weather the storm, kind of, because it's heated.
Yeah.
And so I just want to make you guys aware of that.
Sounds good. Carry on. It sounds like you're addressing it just right.
Okay. Other than that, I do got some pricing on equipment. I'll hurry and get through this. And that's pretty much all I got. You got anything, Mark, for Road and Bridge?
The bills up for this meeting are the final 10% for the crushing, which been approved, and the one, all but the 10% on the chip seal is up for payment today. The chip seal's now.
Okay.
IntelliTractors with metal arc and that, I was talking with Eric, they're going to get going, and they're going to borrow pipe from us so they can get them in this fall. But they are going to get started here shortly on that. Okay.
What are they going to get started on?
What's that?
What is it they're going to get
started? Metal arc.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. How close are they on the little creek road being done?
He's got all the, he's almost got the pit run in. They're working on the hill. It's, Mark told me that, you know, if the weather keeps up, he's hoping to have it, you know, I don't know how long. They're going to do half of the multi-plate and then half. That's the part they're working on right now, is the hill and stuff. The other parts to where the bottom of the hill, they got the pit run in and stuff. So it's, I mean, it's pretty much travelable now if you had to.
Have you done the fencing yet?
No.
Okay. So they won't probably finish this fall?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll get there. It depends on the fall. I don't know how to. I didn't ask him about the fencing.
Okay.
He was pretty sure he'd have the road done.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Equipment. We got some pickups, a roller, some motor graders, and loaders. And everything, and I'll go through that with you after we get done with this. Everything on the equipment wise, we came in way under what we budgeted for and stuff, so that was good. So okay, on the motor graders, Wyoming Machinery Caterpillar was the cheapest, and they met all the specs. We had four people, you know, four companies bidding on stuff, and motor graders only two met our specs, and that's Caterpillar and John Deere Honan. And he came in at, on our trades on the first one, they gave us $101,500 for our 2008 John Deere. So the total after the trade and everything was $286,447.47. On the second motor grader, the trade amount on a 2010 came in $105,500. So that made our, you know, come in $282,447.57. So the total was $568,895.04. And John Deere was, you know, for a total of two was $590,113.98.
Let's go ahead and address these separately then, Jerry.
gentleman.
Each.
What's that?
Motor graders and then rollers.
Each piece of equipment. Let's just address them separately.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the low bid, $568,895.04 for two Caterpillar motor graders.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the Caterpillar bid for two motor graders in the amount of $568,895.04. And don't forget the 4 cents.
Okay, then. Next, we got the roller.
Yeah, we're going to have a vote. Further discussion.
This continues the trend of 8 motor graders that you have?
It'll be, yeah, we got rid of 2, then we have 8.
And at one time, how many of you ever had running? You don't have that many operators still.
We always have 8 running, Tom. Not in the summer. But in the winter, I have all 8 running. I have 2 up Horse Creek nonstop. I have 1 at Boulder. I run 1 down in Piney, sometimes 2. I got 1 in Cottonwood. I have 1 designated for Cora. I have 1 designated for town. And I have 1 in Bondurant. So in the winter, they all run. They, you know, all of them, the 2 we're getting rid of have over 8,000 hours on them. In the summer, this summer, I've been pretty much, you know, but the biggest thing is you have breakdowns. And so you almost got to have an extra to keep going. I mean, that's the biggest thing, like this year, like with the rollers. The rollers, I've been struggling all year with the rollers because we just had a lot of problems with them being broke down. So you're shuffling and everything. But, you know, we do have, you know, when guys are on vacation and stuff like that. But, like, right now, you know, pretty much I got a full crew, so we're rolling good. So everything's being utilized. Everything's being used. But we do try to keep a spare blade. You got it. I mean, with the emissions last year, I mean, the 2 M's we had with the emissions, and it took Kevin a long time to get them figured out. They'd leave the Daniel shop, they'd get the core, and the temperature would change like 20 degrees. And then mess up the computer in and they'd shut down. And so if I wouldn't had extra blades, Horse Creek would be closed. So I mean it's if you don't have that extra blade to cover the roads are gonna be closed. And then, you know, that's the stuff you gotta it's not like just building a road, out on Willow, you know, if you break down, that's all you got. We got 500 miles of road we maintain.
That's fine. We move forward. Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Roller.
Roller. And Wyoming Machinery Caterpillar was the cheapest on the way to. And we had 4 people. Komatsu, they didn't meet. They don't. They have a hard time meeting our spec because they won't give us a buyback. So. They they do their warranty way different, so it don't meet our spec. Tri-State with Volvo, they didn't meet our spec. It was they did a smaller roller that didn't meet our weights and our horsepower and stuff like that. So it came down to John Deere and Caterpillar. Caterpillar was the cheapest. So they gave us our trade. Was $40,000, and so the difference was $119,353.45. and John Deere was 121-413-00.
I'll entertain a motion.
I move we move forward with the CS680B Caterpillar bid.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the Caterpillar bid for the roller in the amount of $119,353.45. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Billy, have any of these people talked about increased prices due to the steel tax?
You know, I was really like, and then I'll show you like on our, when we do the, you know, before we do budget time, you know, I kind of reach out and see what equipment's going to be, you know. I talk with all of them, Dan and John Deere and all of them, and for pricing they give me then when we're doing our budget, you know, everything actually came in below. So nothing's, and you know, then the used equipment for what we budgeted, what I had estimates, what I thought it was going to be, you know, we actually got more for our trades than we, and I'll show you that stuff here in a minute after we get done with this.
Okay.
But you know, the equipment actually come in, you know, I mean, it's, for what we're, you know, it's been the same. I mean, we haven't gone up much the last couple of years in equipment, you know, right, price-wise.
Good.
The loader is, okay, we had, okay, the loader here was the one that's 13's, we had four companies bid. Like I said, Komatsu, they didn't meet our spec because it, you know, they don't do a buyback, and their horsepower, there was a lot of stuff on Komatsu. The rest of them, are really, I mean, on the loaders, all three companies, Caterpillar was the most expensive.
Can't win them all, Dan.
But they're all real close. The Tri-State with Volvo actually was, they're the cheapest. I do have some, but I don't, we don't have no Volvos. So I don't know none really about, so I just had to call people that I know that had Volvo loaders. They didn't really say much bad about them. I did get told that, you know, the service part, because they only have a service guy, that one guy that comes out of Casper, and that's a little iffy. They're telling me they ain't going to be a problem. I addressed that with the salesman and his general manager. Parts are kind of a slow process getting their parts. You know, they don't really have like a service, kind of like Honan or Caterpillar, you know, where you can get parts pretty fast. So, but they were the lowest bid, and they did meet our warranty, and they gave me a buyback and everything. The only thing is, like with John Deere and Caterpillar, we have to have a computer, you know, we have where we can, the machines are linked, so like if we have an issue with the machine, Caterpillar and John Deere both see it, they see mm-hmm. the problem too, so a lot of times they'll get us the part and everything. So I don't have none of that with Volvo, so that would be an additional cost, mm-hmm. and that ends up being, you know, anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 a year and stuff like that. other than that, you know, yeah. I just never have had a Volvo. So we'll have to stock new filters, stuff like that. So it is going to be a little additional cost. But
Commissioner Noble, you had a comment.
I just have a couple of questions. I'm sure Billy can answer them. Is on the Volvo, or all three of them, do they all meet your spec? Do they all come with the quality tires?
They all come with the tires. You know, I made sure I went
a couple into your snow blowers.
They will, but they're not. They're, you know, you got to, and they're, this is, the price is included with it's an aftermarket coupler. So you do have like lifting.
Which one has the aftermarket?
Both of them do. John Deere, but John Deere puts a different head. It's not as bad as Volvo's. I mean, John Deere's, we use it with our motor graders and stuff right now, and I haven't had no issues with that coupler.
So with that quick coupler, aftermarket quick coupler, does it maintain the specs that you want? Because a lot of times the quick coupler,
they, you know,
they,
they produce specs that all say they meet our thing, you know, our spec on lifting. But they all do, each company does their own thing. So, I mean, they show me documents that say it will. So, and I can't say it doesn't. I mean, I've had no problems with our other, like John Deere loaders and stuff like that. So I'm good. I don't know with Volvo because I've never been around the Volvo. But they do all, you know, they're all coming with the right tires, everything else. Both, in my spec, I have 311 horse. The Volvo says it's 300 horse. The John Deere's 305 horse, but then they show that with after emissions and all that, that they're putting out as much horsepower or more than CAT. So it's just how you look at their specs, but they're all close. They're all very close. The Caterpillar would, you know, with our, because we do have a snowblower, you know, so it would jive better with that, you know, with them loaders, but these are a little smaller loaders, so I normally use our designated big CAT loader to push that blower, so but if something happened to that loader, yeah, you know, these would be a fit, you know, to they would hook up to it where the other two wouldn't, so without a bunch of probably modification. But there was, you know.
Is the Volvo your recommendation then?
I mean, they're the lowest. My, you know, the only thing I have, I just know nothing about them. And, you know, but, you know, they were, you know, John Deere was 657.
30,000 more.
30,000.
Yeah, so it's 30,000 more. And the CAT was.
That's about 100,000.
Yeah. So, yeah.
How many loaders do you have now?
We got five.
So this makes seven?
No, we're trading two. Replace. The two old ones.
Okay, are you comfortable with trying the Volvos? Or?
I, you know.
Do you have any experience with them, Tom?
They're good loaders.
Okay. And if the 30 grand
plan. He does have a point with the parts and the availability on parts and the service, but if they're under warranty, the service should be taken care of.
And that's
part of that program.
And
right?
I got, you know, that's in that program, so. and I checked with them twice. I even talked with their general manager, and that's.
So the travel, you know, time is part of that program?
That's all in that.
So yeah. There shouldn't be any problem with service and travel.
Yeah, the only extra cost is going to be for us is is filters.
The connectivity.
And that, yeah, other than that. But you're not talking that
much. Did you
much.
Have a comment, Commissioner Rauhauser?
Well, I think it's a question. Okay, we take the lowest bid, and we're bidding, and we're going to take it because it's the lowest bid, but it is not something that you've ever used.
Right.
And we have a bad experience. The next time that we get ready to accept a bid, can they be excluded from that because of a bad experience?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
They don't have to take the lowest
bid. Yeah, don't have to take the lowest bid, even though there's some contrary statements to that. Right?
Mr. Chairman, I move we
thank you.
Take the lowest bid for Tri-State Volvo for for two loaders in the amount of $627,000, $627,072.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the low bid from Tri-State Volvo for two loaders in the amount of $627,000. $627,072. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. One more piece of equipment.
Yeah, all we got is pickups.
Okay.
And I got, Roan Bridge has two pickups. I got asked to do.
Dan, by the way, county commissioners get cold in the winter too. Just say it. Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Let's go back to those scrapers.
Guys, I appreciate the chance to do this. All right. We should have been a little tougher on the
movers, but
we just went right
there.
Sorry.
Thanks for coming, Dan.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, I'll hurry here. The last thing we got is pickups. Broom Bridge put in for two pickups. I did building and maintenance, put in for a pickup, and they asked me to do that for them, so I did it as a group so we get a better deal. And so I got that. Roan Bridge was just two crew pickups.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
I was asked a question the other day about, are we going to have an auction sometime?
Yes. And it's close. I mean, we've almost got everything. Dave with the sheriff's office, and he's pretty much got everything. He's getting some stickers off of some stuff, and then I think we'll be pretty well.
And that'll be advertised somewhere along.
Yes, we'll advertise it.
Yeah, and I'll advertise it.
I'm getting a list all put together. We're going to have categories.
I wanted to tag on to the back of these.
They're good.
I know it.
Okay.
These gasoline engines?
Yes. They're gasoline. They're 3/4 tons, crew, 4 doors, long beds.
Yep.
And Frontier Ford was the cheapest. For two pickups was $80,524. And then, well, I guess I'll
be back. Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I make the motion that we accept the bid from Frontier Ford for two pickups in the amount of $80,524.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we accept the bid for the two Ford pickups in the from Frontier Ford in the amount of $80,524. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, and then this is just the other pickup that's in this building and maintenance. This is Andre's. That was part of the package with.
Oh, gotcha. This is Andre's pickup?
Yes, for the. He had me spec it.
Oh, the one tub, one ton, no bed.
It's for his electrical.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
It's just part of this.
Okay. Excellent. All right. I'll entertain a motion.
And this concludes the service body.
Yeah.
With the service body.
Mr. Chairman, I move we take this. The lowest bid of $47,825.39 from Frontier Ford for a one-ton F-350 super cab.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we accept the low bid from Frontier Ford for a one-ton Ford pickup in the amount of $47,825.39. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
That's all I got for Room Bridge.
Okay, let's do waste management.
Okay. Waste management. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
you bet.
Thank you.
It's getting that time. Waste management's been in the last few weeks. We've had to kind of, because of all the man camps on the fire and that, the trash kind of, and getting up to some of these places and that. So we've been kind of working with Tri-County and M&M because they've been coming in. So we have been staying up, meeting them later and coming in on weekends and stuff like that. Gotcha. So there has been a little bit of overtime because of due to the fire.
Sure.
Other than that, everything is business as usual. I know we've been asked, you know, about bringing us stuff, you know, from the home as they start cleaning up the homes and stuff in Hoback Ranches. We can take whatever. I mean, it ain't going to be no. Our C&D is, you know, capable. We'll have to sort some stuff, but we do that anyway. We're ready to take whatever they bring us.
Okay.
We have. Do you have anything?
No.
It's kind of getting that time. I need to advertise. I want to change some of the pricing on stuff. Pretty much everything is the same, and I'll show you the just some, you know, some stuff we've never ever. It's just kind of, I mean, it ain't just so we keep record of stuff coming in. I'll explain that to you. Here's the new. I want to get this so I can get it advertised if we're going to change it. The one thing that we do, you know, and we talked about it before, is tires. Tires are a big thing. This is a new rate sheet that I think we ought to go forward with.
Is everything the same? You're saying pretty much?
Pretty much. I'll show you. I'll go through. Here's the old one. This is what we're working off of right now. Except for the tires. The tires, this is the old, this is the tires we've gone up to $100 a ton, you know, when we, last year.
Oops, sorry.
So really the only thing I'm kind of going up with is, okay, like used oil. I mean, used oil is costing us. The company I use to come get it, and there's only two companies that really do it, and one's very expensive, and I just use him when the other one's not available. But used oil at the transfer station, we're picking that up about every 2 months, and what they do is they charge me about because they come. I have to call them more. They normally come up to our area about every 6 months, and we've been using them I've been pushing it every 3 months, and I have added tanks up there. So, and I'm actually going to add a bigger one, kind of redo that the used oil at the transfer station. So I should be able to start getting 6 months so it don't cost us as much. But they charge us. On a normal rate, they charge us like $150 service fee to come, and then they charge us, I think it's like $1.60 a gallon to take it, because we don't know what's in it. If it was just straight motor oil, they charge us $1 a gallon, but they have to charge us, and they test it right then. They test it as they're sucking it. And there's always antifreeze, you know, other
brake
stuff.
Cleaner.
Yeah, brake cleaner and stuff like that in it. So that's what they cost. So I went where we're going to take
a dollar a gallon. So we, right now we do, we don't charge for, you know, nothing. They just bring it and dump it. So, and then any, in, so that's one of the changes we'll do on the pricing. Batteries are another thing, you know, I have to pay to get them to take them. And we end up with a lot of batteries. So just a dollar a battery. That's only, and then sorted wood, which is kind of a big, right now we take anything, you know, like any clean sorted wood, like just scrap, ply board, stuff like that. They, you know, we don't, right now we don't charge for that, but it's, with the way we are having to burn and follow all that, we're having to, there's a lot of time involved now because we can't, we got to burn a real small pile, so we're always separating and doing stuff. So I, you know, I added where we charge $5 a ton. The pallets, we, you know, we get semi loads of pallets, and I did start charging. That's already in effect, and we charge $25 a ton for that. We were taking them for free, but we started charging for them. Other than that, everything MSW is $35 a ton. We didn't change anything on that. We, tree limbs and brushes, we're charging $5 a ton. It's kind of the same thing, just we weren't charging nothing, but it is a lot of manpower to move it around. Other than that, only other thing we started charging is, because is we just get tons of them, is just $5 for, to get, because it is to get, like for appliance, you know, like refrigerators and that, we have to take all the Freon and stuff out of them, and that we have to, and we're certified. Two of the guys down there are certified to do it, so we get the Freon out of them, but then I have to have a company come get it, and it's, you know, last time I did, we have like 6 bottles that they come and get, and it was, you know, it was $1,000 to get rid of the Freon, so, you know, $5 for, to that, I didn't think was great. Other than that, everything, the we're pretty much saying the only thing we did go up on is because tires were $100 a ton, and what we do is smaller tires is still, I mean, $4 a tire, 10 tires max, but we get a lot of, you know, from the oil fields and stuff, we get like big containers, 40 yard containers full of tires. We were at $100 a ton, we went up to 130. We are paying 200 ton to get rid of them, so yeah, you know, and we're also hauling them, so I don't think that we got to keep up with the tires. Other than that, that's only changes. I just want to get your guys's
piece. The dead animal thing is that you get charged a ton whether you bring a ton in or not, or
yeah, well, the way we've been doing it, like now, if you just bring like one animal or stuff, they just charge you $7 just to go scale through the scale. Okay. Yeah, and the girls kind of, you know, if you bring a horse or something like that, what we're talking is, you know, sometimes you'll get a 10 at a time and stuff like that.
Okay. So. Okay, that's fine. All right, sounds good. Any questions for Billy?
Just go ahead. On the vegetative part of this, tree limbs and brush, how is that going to tie into the potential increased load we have with burn wood debris from the current fires? Is it going to be classified as tree limbs and brush?
You know, I'm sure all that's going to be like mixed. Mm-hmm. We have a hard time with this, with the tree limbs and in the brush, is they, I mean, they'll bring in like tons of yard clippings and stuff like that. In most of it's we keep it in a separate spot and to burn and stuff. Like most of the stuff that's gonna come from Hoback Ranches and stuff will go right to the C&D pit.
Even the burn, would it just be?
It'll just yes, okay. It'll totally go. This stuff here, we put in a separate area and we burn it, and we don't put it in C&D till right. after we we get it. But all that stuff will go strictly to C&D.
Okay. Any other questions for Billy? This will go into effect January 1st then?
Yeah. Okay. And there's really not, like MSW, household trash, everything, and even the C&D is pretty much the same. The only, we're just going to start adding $1 for the oil and stuff like right. that. And the only big jump was the tires again.
Yep. And that's fine.
Okay.
So you'll let the contractors know right away.
Yeah, we'll post all of this.
Okay.
You need a motion for the new rates?
I don't believe so. I think Billy can just do that at his discretion. Okay. All right. Anything further, Billy?
No, that's all I got.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Billy.
Thanks, Billy.
We'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back for the CTC presentation.